What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts across all social media, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. It's 420. Oh, 420. And it's another day of the NBA playoffs. We got some MLB picks out early this morning, but we're going to keep this show all about the association and end these NBA playoffs. Man, oh, man. Some really good basketball, some really good games lately, a lot of really contentious games. I mean, the Bucks blew out the Heat last night, but Minnesota came back on Denver, made that a game in the second half. And it's just a lot of good basketball we're seeing right now, right? It's almost jarring to see the level of defense that's being played. I'll talk a little bit about that today and some other things. Going to go over this slate, the April 20th slate. Fresh off of 5-2, plus 4.5 unit day. Looking for some more wins today as well. If you're interested in my premium picks, just send me a DM at Farley Betts on Twitter or Instagram. We can have a conversation about that because I got some great discounts now to end the NBA season. Also, remember, I'm handicapping WNBA, CFL, MLB, UFC all throughout the summer. So hit me up for one of my reduced, more fun summer packages where we do an assortment of sports handicapping just a little bit most days of the week to, you know, keep our summers fresh, keep our handicapping methods in tune as we prepare for the NFL season. So, also go to farleybets.com. I should probably say that at the start of every podcast. I wanted to do a show today that's more like a flagship program, right? At the end of the day, it's all about winning wagers, winning bets, doing it the right way. And let's talk NBA picks today on April 20th, this NBA playoff slate. But before I do that, you know, I always like to rant about a few things. Now, these all have to do with the association, with the NBA playoffs, okay? But always want to make a few points, my observations, just things that I'm noticing and seeing to, you know, help us understand these teams a little bit more too, because There's a lot going on, right? There's a lot of nuance in these NBA playoffs, the way the coaches are approaching it, what players are stepping up, what their rotations are looking like, how the styles clash against each other, all these things. And obviously, at the end of the day, right, it's about the line itself. It's about the number itself. But you got to have a good understanding of these teams. Let's start with Kyrie and Kevin Durant because I got to bring this up. You know, I keep my receipts. And some people on Twitter didn't like the fact that I said that I didn't love the Kyrie Irving trade or the Kevin Durant trade for many reasons. I think the Kyrie Irving trade and how that did not work out is pretty obvious at this point. The Dallas Mavericks are not in the playoffs. They completely crumbled to end the season. Couldn't win in the play-in. Just donezo. A pathetic ending for a team that went really far in the playoffs last season. And Kevin Durant now starting to mesh a little more with the Suns. But what did we see from the Suns in game two? We saw Devin Booker, who proved me wrong. I said on the BetUS NBA show on Tuesday that he just doesn't show up in the fourth quarter. He showed up that whole game, 38 points, took over for the Suns offense. I think that's probably the best version of the Suns right now because Kevin Durant is still pretty brand new on the Suns. And why I'm bringing up Kyrie and Kevin Durant together in the same sentence with the same energy is because the reason why they can be disruptive viruses on a team is because they have big egos, AKA they don't follow anyone else's lead necessarily. Doesn't matter how great of a coach it is. Doesn't matter how great of on-court leadership a team has. They're not going to necessarily follow. Kevin Durant, not necessarily going to follow you, Chris Paul. Not necessarily tuning into every, you know, everything you say on the court, every style that you want to play with, Chris Paul, CP3. That's not who Kevin Durant is. Kevin Durant doesn't necessarily mesh into a system easily, right? He sounds off on social media. He still holds a grudge against Charles Barkley, like doesn't talk to him when they interview him. That's who he is. And it can be very disruptive. At the end of the day, I'd rather have Kevin Durant than Kyrie Irving. 10 times out of 10 probably, because Kevin Durant is an all-world talent, and he is that guy that can win you the game at the end of the game. But You know, Kyrie Irving, I mean, top 10 talent in the NBA still, probably, absolutely. But again, the guy's weird. People think he's weird. I think he just ends up sounding weird. It doesn't matter if you think that's mean or not. That's just what happens in these locker rooms. That's what we've heard. That's what we're seeing. And that can be disruptive as well. Disruptive. So watch out for that from Kevin Durant. You know, the Suns and Devin Booker are not going to get – Devin Booker is not going to eat like that every night, okay? And he might be showing huge improvements in his game. I like his aggression in the NBA playoffs. I'm just calling it like it is. Before that last game, you just haven't seen him stepping up in a lot of big games. But if Devin Booker can be consistent like that, then the Suns are going to be really good. If not, and it depends on Kevin Durant's chemistry with the offense, we'll see, right? Because it hasn't been happening for a long time. And again, Kevin Durant is still going to kind of do Kevin Durant for the most part, even with Monty Williams, who should be a great leader to pair with him, right? I mean, Monty is a disciplined guy, but he's not loud. He's not brash. Probably let Durant be Durant. Something to watch out for. Teams need one leader, you know, and that's a big problem on a lot of teams. You know, when LeBron is put with some people, like a Westbrook, who maybe is a big personality that tries to lead and join people together. I don't know if it meshed too well with LeBron. Right, you got to take a step down if you're on LeBron's team. But teams need one leader, and Kyrie and Kevin Durant don't necessarily respond to those leaders. And they think they can be the leader. They're not great at that. The Cavs and the Knicks, that series should be super, super physical in Madison Square Garden. We could talk about that game a little bit if we have time today. We like to keep these around 30 minutes. But that is a series where I think you should continually look at unders. You know, Julius Randle got smacked down to the floor in one of the last plays of the game two. You can just expect that game to pick up and pick up its physicality. And those two teams are going to be burnt after that series because both pride themselves on defense, both have size. So it's just like a bunch of big old Titans clashing on the hardwood, man. And they're hitting the hardwood too. I don't see a lot of high scoring games in that series. You know, there's always usually like an aberration of some sort, maybe one game we'll have like a 240 point game because one team will just be tired. But for the most part, I would look at unders in the Knicks and Cavs series like we keep on seeing. I think the Hawks are completely done. I think that team will disband after this season. You know, Quinn Snyder taking over, an adult in the room, a guy that's done a lot in the NBA already, a lot of wins with the Jazz. I think they're done. You know, Celtics are up and down all around, the better team in every single way. But, you know, the Celtics do let down on occasion. They do show that personality to kind of let one go. The Hawks can win one in Atlanta, and they're getting a pretty decent line in the look ahead in that game. They can win one in Atlanta. They put it all together, right? They go up and down the court, really fluid offense. They attack. They throw Boston off on their home floor, crowd going crazy. Of course they can. They can win a game. I wouldn't count on it, though. I think this is going to be a gentleman's sweep or a sweep completely by the Boston Celtics. 4-1 or 4-0. The Lakers, you know, that was kind of predictable, them losing last night. Look, the Grizzlies are a really good team, even without John Morant. They played really consistently, really well all year. Top five defense, a team that attacks you. Really good defense in the front court. Really good offense in the front court, good transition defense. They challenge every shot, you know. They're top five in all those, like, field goal shooting percentage categories against them, front court, mid-range. Even from beyond the arc, they're pretty damn good. So at home, game two, when they can go down 0-2, they were going to win that game. I've been on the Lakers full game. I thought the Grizzlies would win it early. But I should have known it was going to be full game. You know, they weren't going to give up that lead. I do think that the Lakers are going to be the better team of the entire series. I really like the way the Lakers roster is composed. Rui Hachimura starting to shine right now is not a joke. That kid is very talented, especially on offense. He needs to learn some better defense. But he's a talented offensive player. When someone like Anthony Davis doesn't have a good game, which we see all the time, Anthony Davis had a fucking stinker on Wednesday night. But that can happen on this team because now you have someone like Rui stepping up. LeBron also had a big game. Austin Reeves had another effective enough game. But they have guys in place on this roster to beat a lot of teams, and they have a lot of size. And you got the GOAT, right? Like, you got one of the GOATs on your team. I'm not saying he's better than Michael Jordan. I think Michael Jordan's the GOAT. But you got one of the GOATs on your team in LeBron. That you know, mentally, what he can teach, his IQ, it goes a long way, guys. Love him or hate him, it goes a long way. The Warriors can still win. We'll talk about that more when we get to that game. But they just can't get overconfident at home. That's going to be a big part of my angle today. You know, these Warriors, man, if they don't win this game, that's it, right? Like, if they're not impressive tonight, they're not going to be impressive ever. But we'll talk more about that. I just wanted to mention that, tease that a little bit. I just don't know if the Phoenix Suns can compete with deeper teams. And we already talked about Phoenix a little bit. Yeah, Kevin Durant could be a problem. But just talking about the Suns completely and their ability to win, go to the NBA Finals this year, their starting five is very good. And, you know, they've had Cameron Payne out. You know, they haven't been completely healthy, and they have a depleted roster somewhat now. Lost some really good defensive guys in that trade. But I think when you go against a deeper team, right, like the Nuggets' offensive talent is unfair. It's just one guy after another. Jamal Murray went off last night, but it could be Porter. It's Jokic most nights, right? He's just like quietly getting 27 points every night. The Nuggets, their talent and their depth is just unreal. Aaron Gordon, Caldwell Pope is one of the sneakiest, most underrated guards in the NBA. He could just kill you from those corner threes in general. The Kings are a deep team. We're seeing that. We're seeing how well Malik Monk can come in and replace De'Aaron Fox or play alongside with him. The Kings are deeper than you think. The Warriors, despite the fact that they're showing clunky basketball to start off, are a deep team. And even the Lakers. The Lakers are a deeper team after that trade for sure. A better all-around roster. So the Suns, with a very potent starting five, that's a lot of pressure on that starting five to be really perfect game in and game out. I'm not sure if they can hang with those deeper teams in the West. TBD, but we shall see. Really quickly, just a reminder before I handicap tonight's games and tell you my angles on that. Unit allocation, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't stress it enough, if you don't focus on it and make sure you're really allotting your plays to the proper unit allocations enough, I'm telling you, it's one of the most important parts of betting. It's arguably as important as the bet itself, right? If I have 3 1-unit plays tonight and I lose one of them, I'm only winning, let's see, in my head, 2 units, one, I'm only winning 0.9 units, right? Almost 1 unit, because you lose a little bit because of the juice. If that one loss was a 1 unit play, but the other 2 plays were 2 1.5-unit plays, how much more are you winning? A lot more, right? 2 to 3 units in that case. So where you allot your unit size, like just like anything in the stock market, right? Certain companies are valued at certain dollar amounts. Your bets should be valued at certain dollar amounts. If you like the Warriors tonight, do you like them the same exact amount? The same exact amount that you like the Clippers? If you like the Clippers, let's say you like those two angles. The same amount? It has the same exact value? No, it doesn't. That's impossible. Now, I use, for my premium customers, I use 0.5 to 5 unit values. Most plays are between 1 and 2. Okay, but there are some 3-unit plays I've already had in the NBA playoffs. And I've had 4 and 5-unit plays. They're rare. But that's my way of separating it, right? A 1-unit play, I'm not as quite as confident in that play as I am in a 2-unit play. And Lord knows, 2.5 to 3, very confident. 4 to 5 are plays of the year. So unit allocation is everything. It's not everything. It's huge, though. And like I said, and you can't really argue with it, right? Just as important as the bets itself. Because if the bet, you know, if you look how many more units you can win just by the proper unit allocation. I rest my case. Okay, let's talk about these games in the April 20th slate. My wife and I indulged in a little wine last night, probably more wine than we have since our little girl was born 5 weeks ago. And I'm feeling it today. I am feeling it. It's just interesting how, you know, when she was pregnant, I didn't drink much at all because I don't like to drink alone. You know, I think that's probably a sign of alcoholism when you're just drinking alone all the time. That's not me. You know, I like to have my drinking buddy with me. So every now and then, you know, glass of wine while I watch a game or, you know, get together with one of the boys. Of course, you have some beers, but not drinking as much. So, you know, my tolerance went way down. And now, my goodness, we had like 2.5 glasses of wine last night, I think maybe 3. And I'm feeling it like it was my first time drinking. Crazy. Getting old, folks, getting old. Your 30s they're an interesting time. Okay, 76ers and the Nets. Why is this line on the Brooklyn Nets going down and down and down? That's crazy. The 76ers are so much better than the Nets. Oh, the Nets, they can't hold up to the 76ers. I think this line is moving in the right direction, folks, and I think a lot of people would think I'm crazy for saying that. But on a team like the 76ers, with someone like playoff James Harden in their starting lineup, getting a lot of minutes every game, already shooting way below his average, right around that 30% mark from the field, playoff Harden is back. He's back, baby. Not reliable at all. All it takes is one other role player on the 76ers roster, maybe a Maxi, maybe a Tobias Harris, to have a bad game. And all of a sudden, it's just Joel Embiid and maybe one other guy against a good team. A team that can play really good defense. The Nets have shown they can do it. They can self-correct. They're going to be behind their home crowd. I think the Nets are live tonight to win one game. And what have we seen from Glenn Rivers? Is that his name, Glenn? I think it is. Whatever. Glenn Doc Rivers. What have we seen from him throughout history and his teams? And what have we seen from the 76ers? They randomly blow games like this. They just do. So listen, are the 76ers the more talented team? Yes. Are they going to win this series? I believe so, yes. I'd be shocked if they didn't win this series. But I think I always thought that they were going to blow a game. When a team goes back home, just like the Warriors are going back home tonight, and they're down 0-2, This is the game where they usually put it all together. That's the game. And I know the angle almost sounds too simple, right? But I think the only reason why you wouldn't want to value or see value in the Nets tonight is because you think that the 76ers are just so much better than the Nets, and it's impossible for the Nets to beat the 76ers. And that's the kind of rhetoric that I hear sometimes on gambling Twitter, on shows, hell, on some of the shows I'm on. It's annoying as shit. We don't know what the fuck is going to happen game to game. Nobody knows. And these are still professional NBA players. And, oh, by the way, the Nets have a lot of B-plus players. And guys like Cam Johnson are stepping up. They don't have the star power the 76ers do. Of course they don't. But it's still the NBA. Like, let's not act like, you know, the 76ers are light years above the Nets. They're not, especially not the 76ers. They're so flawed. And we haven't seen consistency from them until really this season. So maybe this is a different result. I'll be off the Nets forever after this if this happens. But I think the Nets have a shot to win tonight. So is their value at +4.5? Yes. I'm not touching the total. I think it's right. Down to 209.5, right? This game pretty low. That's probably pretty accurate. The Kings and the Warriors, oh boy, why are the Warriors 6-point favorites with how they've looked against the Sacramento Kings? Why? De'Aaron Fox is going off, unguardable so far. Klay Thompson, too slow for him. Andrew Wiggins, too slow for him. Steph Curry might be too slow for him. Playing physical, Domantas Sabonis gets right back up, didn't complain about that whole altercation with Draymond Green after the game, said that's basketball, we got to move on. Tough team, tougher than we thought, playing good defense. Malik Monk going off. Got a pretty stacked roster, don't they? Yep. The Warriors, though, have still kept one thing true to their dynastic history this season, and they win at home. And they're really good against the spread at home. The best team in the NBA, actually, against the spread at home, 67.5%. Really good as a home favorite, over 62%. And only lost 8 games at home all season. Draymond Green is not going to be in. That is absolutely part of this handicap, right? You have to account for that. I think he's at least worth at least 1 point of line value. He does a lot of things for them on both sides of the court. Of course, he's their enforcer, their rebounder, their cleanup guy, but he's always setting picks. He's always moving around on offense, always creating space. The Warriors are absolutely going to miss that tonight. But the Warriors have not shot well from beyond the arc, even though they have Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. They're going to shoot better tonight. They're going to get more calls tonight. They're behind their home crowd. And this is a young Sacramento Kings team that has been at home this entire time. That's very convenient. They earned it. But they are not going to be as steady, confident, or without nerves tonight at the Chase Center. Call it what you will. You know, there's just some personalities out there in this gambling universe are just like, they just think they're like almighty with their knowledge. It's insane. But as a professional handicapper, sports bettor, you have to go with the Warriors in this spot. You just have to. I got them at 5.5. I would still take it at 6. This is the spot, right? Just like the Nets, but this is a way more talented team, a way more experienced team, a team that's won titles together. The Warriors, if they're going to win a game, if they're going to show that they're still in the series, this is it. Game 3 at home, smash. And what do we see, right? Cavs-Knicks. Knicks had a lot of momentum. Knicks looked great. The Cavs needed to win, blew them out. The Heat, starting to gain momentum, beat the Bucks in game 1, Bucks blew them out. Don't be surprised if this is a blowout tonight. Now, I'm going to speak just contrarian for 1 second, okay? This is a two-unit play for me on the Warriors. But do I think that the Kings can't win this game? Absolutely not. The Kings can win this game. And if the Kings win this game, this series is over. The Warriors are not coming back down. They're not coming back from 0-3. It's not happening. And the Kings have been so impressive. Don't get me wrong. I love seeing this Kings team, this young, really exciting Kings team succeed. Love it. But it's just up to the Warriors. You know, this is more about the Warriors. If the Warriors are still looking to win a title this year, think they can contend, not feeling old, confident, they're going to come out and they're going to look their best tonight. This is the spot. All right, finally, the Suns and the Clippers tonight. I already took the under 227 in this. It's starting to tick down a little bit, so glad to see some of you Sharpies agree with me. Tell you what, man. Clippers coming back home. They allowed that onslaught of offense to happen in game 2 from the Suns in the second half. Devin Booker, he did his thing. He surely did. Great basketball from Devin Booker. Don't have a negative thing to say about his game in game 2, if you can believe it. Great game from him. Kevin Durant cleaned up a few times. Chris Paul, efficient game. DeAndre Ayton, some key shots at key moments. Torrey Craig nailing some threes. Okay. I'm not taking the Clippers tonight, but I think the Clippers are going to control the rhythm of this game, and I think that's why we're seeing the totals start to drop. The Clippers are a methodical, naggy, annoying, sometimes boring team to watch because they like to go slower. They like to, you know, just pester you with their defense and then annoy you with how slow their offense can work until they pass it to one of their really good shooters and they're wide open and they nail the shot. And they have a lot of really good shooters, even without Paul George. Yeah, playoff Paul, playoff PG, maybe it's not a bad thing he's not in. I mean, even with, you know, with Paul George, when he's missing shots, he's still a great defender. It gives you length. But Kawhi is playing MVP-level basketball right now. He's doing it all. I mean, he is primed in these games, and he has looked fantastic. Now, the Clippers have not been a great team at home this season, something like 19-22 against the spread. I don't think that's a huge difference in this game. But I might look to take the Clippers early I think they could control this game really early. I think it slows down really early. We don't see a lot of points from the beginning. And the Suns defense, you know, they'll improve as the series goes on. Monty Williams is a good coach. He can prep them in that way. You know, they still have some guys on there, right? Durant's not the worst defender either when he wants to be. When he wants to be a good defender, he's not the worst defender. But I like the under tonight. That's going to be my play. I would lean Clippers as well. This is going to be a very hard-fought series, in my opinion. I'll do quick 20-second touches on the Friday games. Celtics-Hawks, really hard not to take the Celtics in this game. I know I said ATL can win one at home. They absolutely can. They're a good NBA team, and it could all come together in a desperate spot. The Celtics are so much better, though, than the Hawks. Like, this is where I'm going to actually say that. So, like, that one is pretty the difference between a team like the Celtics and 76ers is the Celtics roster, the way it's composed, is just pretty brilliant. They play consistently. Their defense has not been inconsistent either. They've brought it now in the playoffs, and they're well coached. You know, I like that dude. I forget his name off the top of my head. Celtics just keep on having too many new coaches. but I like that dude. I think he has a nice composure about him. This was not 20 seconds, but lean Celtics. But that's a tricky one. Cavs and Knicks, again, I think the total's too high, 211.5. I'm going to go under in that game. Most likely, I think we see a very physical contest at Madison Square Garden. That's probably how I'm going to look at this. Might also play on the Knicks. I think the Knicks are going to win this series. So game three at home after a loss makes sense. Nuggets and Timberwolves. Nuggets, 2.5-point favorites on the road now. Is that too low for this Nuggets team that we've seen just explode at the end of games with all their talent in game two? That was, you know, Minnesota made it a game. Anthony Edwards, fantastic game from Anthony Edwards. But the Nuggets just pull ahead, man. So much talent on that team. And Jamal Murray, Bubble Murray, looking fantastic. I kind of want to go with the under in this one since it's in Minnesota. Maybe that favors them in their slower style of play if they choose it. Better defense if they can apply it. And the Nuggets haven't been as potent on the road. But right now, those are just leans. Haven't taken anything yet on that game. Hope you enjoyed this pure handicapping flagship-like show of Laying the Points, going over my picks. We'll be back next week. Going to bring on Eric Rocco from the Odds Breakers, a young stud NBA handicapper, handicaps Major League Baseball as well. We'll talk to him next week. Maybe we'll get another guest on, or maybe I'll do another solo show like this. Until then, Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We out of here.